Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am Greg Crawford, and I do it along with Richard Lucas, who hopefully will be joining us very soon here. He's had a busy schedule and everything else, but he's a very good on the radio and very good basketball analyst, one of the best I've ever been around without question. And as far as I'm concerned, you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, and then at GregCrawfordBasketball.blogspot.com. Don't forget, today I wrote about the NWAC Sports Power Rankings. So those are always controversial, always fun to do. 34 teams in the league, and I only ranked them in the top nine, so it's always fun. But here's a guy that he ranks number one in everything, including being a State Farm insurance owner, being the best dad around, the best husband, the greatest center after Blair Rasmussen at the University of Oregon, the greatest landscaper, the greatest painter, the greatest car washer in America. Let's go to Richard Lucas. Richard, how are you tonight? Did you have a nice holiday?
Yes, I had a fantastic holiday. And just for the record, I don't wash my car anymore. No, I take it through the I do the old car wash deal and let someone
now,
else
now
wash.
Where do you take it to, Richard? All our big listeners want to know.
Yeah, there's a place that is on 185th in kind of the Tannisbourne, Beaverton area, 185th and Cornell, right on the corner. It's the brushless one, so it doesn't have that big old brush wheel that comes up against your car. And so it is, it's quick. The kids love going through it. It's fun. It's cheap. And gets the car looking spotless. So I'd rather spend $10 and have somebody else do it than me out there getting all soaking wet and saving the $10. So that's the one area where I have to correct you.
All right, very good. We like that. And you don't have to correct me on being a great State Farm insurance owner. I always like to start out with a couple insurance questions. Richard, do you find that a lot of people, we talked about this already, protecting your packages in the car, and I see, sadly, a lot of people, they go out of town the holidays, they got papers stacking up, mail, I don't know, all kinds of stuff on their porch, and that is a sign just to say, I'm not home. Do you find a lot of that happening during the holidays?
Yeah, especially around the holidays. People are they are just not in a very defensive, you know, mode around the holidays, which I understand. You know, people are in a festive mood, and they're thinking only the best of our fellow man, which is what you would hope, but unfortunately, not all of our fellow man are good at heart. And so, you know, if you are taking off and have a paper that's being delivered or mail, you know, just do vacation stops for those. The other thing, too, is that we advocate using timers for lights so that lights do come on and go off. So if anybody is scoping out your premises, they at least see some lights coming on and going off. And so it may you know, indicate some activity in there as well. So, you know, a couple of things like that. And the other thing, too, which is really big nowadays, is, you know, not posting on Facebook and tweeting and things like that about, hey, you know, our entire family is going to be gone to, you know, Sweden for 3 weeks, you know, because, again, that is an absolute just open door for people to come and do nefarious things, you know, to your house.
Yeah, very good tips. And I think along with that, you know, you can cut back your shrubbery. Don't make it hidden. Richard mentioned lights. We've already mentioned keep your car showroom clean. That's pretty easy to remember. Showroom clean so it doesn't get broken into. And make it look like it's livable even if you're not there. Richard, I think it's even a good idea that turn on a radio.
Yeah, I mean, having some sound, you know, is always helpful. And if you, you know, if you don't want to spend the money for a security system, I always can, you know, I feel like, hey, putting some signs out that say that you have it, or a sign from an ADT or something like that indicates that you might have it. You know, it's just a deterrent, because really, if you're a bad guy, bad guys don't want to run into anyone. They don't want any interference. They want to have as ease of through as possible. So if they see anything that could potentially be an issue, they'll just move to the next house. So I feel like if you just do a few things on the front end, you'll prevent a lot of headaches. And really, with deductibles on the rise in the insurance industry, I mean, again, you know, deductibles, when I just, you know, first started 10 years ago in the insurance industry, you could have a $100 deductible on your homeowners, and then it's, you know, it went up to $500, and now at State Farm, the lowest I can go is $1,000. So anyone who's a new customer to us has to have at least $1,000 deductible on their homeowner. So, you know, I mean, that's a lot of money coming out of pocket if, for a moment of weakness of leaving, you know, everything open or just not being smart.
Sure. All good points. And, you know, everything we talked about, Richard, is so simple to do. It just takes a little bit of time and dedication. They're really simple. And just be a little bit heads up. Speaking of heads up, Richard, it was quite a night tonight in college basketball.
Yep.
Your son Landon plays for Kansas. They
yep.
won a one-point game at Baylor. Colorado State, which has been terrific this year, they lose to Wyoming. And it appeared as we came on the air that the USC Trojans, who have been horrible at times this year, were going to beat the Cal Bears at home, who have been great. So it
yeah.
just goes to show you, once league play, forget it. All bets are off.
You know what? It's absolutely true. I mean, league play is awesome. I mean, of course, the non-conference is fun, especially when you get good matchups. But when it gets to league, it gets real, and people get really serious about these things. And, you know, I can speak, you know, for Kansas. Kansas has won 10 straight, either a share or outright conference titles. And, tonight's win was huge for them, because this is not – one of the better Kansas teams, and so grabbing a win against a ranked team on the road was absolutely huge for them. So I know after speaking to Landon, they are really excited to get the heck out of Waco with the W, and good for these other teams, USC and you said Colorado State, Wyoming beat Colorado State. Good for those teams, because it's important to start off, especially if you're not one of the top half teams. If you're not a top half team, I think everybody, it's great to get off to a win. But for a USC to get a W like that to start league, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I also want to mention that Illinois upset Maryland, number 11 Maryland tonight. Of course,
yeah.
Illinois is coached by John Grossi, who's a really talented guy. He was at Ohio University and then
yep.
took over Illinois program he's into his third year. So he is a rising star in
yeah.
the coaching ranks. So
it is pretty
exciting, all this basketball that's going on. And Richard, did you ever have any dealings with Mark Schaaf? And for people listening around the country, it's been a national event. That the Mark Schaaf story, Richard, has been on national news three
yeah.
times that I've seen it. Of course, he's the basketball coach at Lake Oswego.
He
was
dismissed yeah.
of his duties this week. And
yeah.
did you ever have any dealings with him? And do you have any thoughts on what's going on there with the Lake Oswego, a storied basketball program in the state of Oregon where
yeah.
Kevin Love played?
Yeah, yeah. I did not have any dealings with him. Lake Oswego was never a school that we were considering for Landon or anything like that. And from what it sounds like, because again, I'm not on the inside of any of this. I'm just as an observer looking at, you know, the video and also, you know, reading the articles about it. But from what it sounds like there's a little bit of a history of abuse, you know, with Mark and with regard to the players, and that, you know, this is kind of that last straw. And so, because from what it, because it's not a great video, of the one that they show. So, you know, it's not like it was anything that was egregious. At least I couldn't tell from the little clips that I saw. When you saw it, did you think? I mean, could you tell what it was like?
Yeah, I really couldn't tell. I've actually known Mark Schaaf for years because I started officiating in 1972, and he was for a long time the JV coach for Sonny Long, the Hall of Fame coach up at Lake Oswego, and then took over the varsity program. You know, he was the heir apparent, and I worked a lot of games there for some reason, and so I'm very familiar with him. He was tough on officials. I mean, he was one of the worst. But I will say this, that you'd see him on the street, and he would be just fine. You know, he didn't carry any grudges, and if you teed him, he still didn't carry that over. So I will say that, and of course you're right, we don't know all the circumstances, but it seems to me like either this is such a huge story, because I think for three or four nights it led to local news, it was on the national news, and I don't know what makes this as big a story as it is, but it certainly was big.
Yeah, I think honestly part of it is, well, there's a couple of things I think that are kind of playing into this. One, and I think the biggest thing, is that Kevin Love was, I mean, you know, think about Kevin Love and think about him he was the Gatorade High School Player of the Year. This is a guy who, of all, if you think about it, all of the, all levels, all players, all, you know, you name it, this guy was the Player of the Year, and he played at Lake Oswego High School, and he's had such an unbelievable career at UCLA and obviously in the NBA. So that's maybe part of it. And maybe also because Lake Oswego itself, you know, is, if you think about Lake Oswego, the city, it's a little more affluent, the little higher end in terms of the, you know, the education and the money that's involved there. If this exact thing, I don't want to get into a race issue, but if this exact thing happened at, you know, Jefferson High School, is it a national story? I don't know. You know what I mean? So maybe there's a few factors that are going in there. And, you know, and even as we were speaking, I literally just YouTubed the video and was watching it, and you know, it seemed in the grand scheme of things, it seemed on the lower end of it. You know, I mean, it looks like there's a little bit of a kind of a forearm kind of to him, like, hey, come on, you know, kind of thing. But like I said, because it seems pretty mild and benign overall, I'm wondering if there was other things that were going on.
Sure.
That kind of, you know, made this a little bit larger than it ultimately was.
Yeah, and I'm testing my memory here a little bit, Richard, but as you know, it's pretty good usually. I think he had some of the most famous assistant coaches there too. I believe for a long time Steve Johnson was his assistant coach. The
yeah.
famous center for the Oregon State Beavers that a lot of people in basketball, if you follow it, know all about him. And Chris Dudley, who barely lost 4 years ago to John Kitzhopper running for governor and had a decent career with the Portland Trailblazers. So I think both those guys were assistant coaches for Schaaf.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's done a fantastic job with Lake Oswego. I mean, no doubt about it. This is a team that is always on the upper echelon in the city. They competed every year in league and was one of the top teams. He's produced very, very good players out of there. So I think that, you know, that's part of what's going on. But, again, there must be something else going on, because from what I'm just looking at again, you know, because I just wanted to look at it again just to see if it was something I was missing. But it really, it doesn't seem super scary. Like what he did, like as a parent, if he had done that to my child, you know, to Landon, it would not have, I wouldn't have jumped out of my chairs and tried to run down there to defend him or anything like that, you know.
All right, very good. Look, we'll move on to college, and then I want to talk a little bit about pro basketball to Richard in the remaining moments we got. Our time always flies by too quick, but, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Oregon Ducks. Here we go again, Dana Altman.
What a guy,
unbelievable.
Right?
Everybody had written him off, and some people were even saying he won't be at Oregon next year, and all this stuff, and I think one of the Ducks 12-4, and they pretty much destroyed Oregon State in the opening Civil War. Now they really got a chance to make some hay with Arizona and Arizona State coming into town.
Yeah, you know, Altman is truly he's truly a magician from what he does. I mean, year after year, this guy surprises the absolute heck out of me. You know, I mean, once again. Greg, if you take that roster and you had to take a blind and take Oregon off of it, and you just put that roster on the table, and you took the roster of 9 out of the 12, you know, 11 remaining teams, you probably would take 9 of the other 11. You know, I mean, you know, yeah, Joe is really good. Joe Young's really, really good. And so that elevates. And he's got some really nice pieces, but it's almost like smoke and mirrors of what he's doing, what he's able to do, and what they have been able to do. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the game against what was the team? Ole Miss, right? I mean, Ole Miss is a team that just went to Kentucky and took them into overtime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, how in the world is he doing it with that roster and no size whatsoever? I mean, you know, he's had to completely tweak and change his offensive and defensive philosophies in order to adhere to the personnel that he has. And I think that is a sign of a really, really good coach. And he gets the kids, as always, and we said the same exact phrase for 4 or whatever years now, the whole buy-in thing is absolutely true. I mean, he gets those kids to absolutely get after it for him. And so now, you know, the other thing I want to say is that let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. I mean, you know, they've done some good things. They played a couple of decent teams, you know, and the couple of the ranked teams that they play, they lost to, you know. And so this weekend to me is going to be a really, really good sign of where they're at. You know, obviously you've got one of the top teams in the country in Arizona, and then you get kind of an okay Arizona State team. So yeah. Now, after this weekend, now I think this will be a great gauge of really where they're at.
Yeah, I think the one thing you got to consider is the win in the United Center over Illinois, and obviously Illinois is a very good team. You know, they're not. They've had some tough losses this year, but when you beat the number 11 team in the country, that's a good win. So I think that's, you're right. We don't want to get the cart before the horse here, but
yeah.
So far they're playing some really good basketball. Richard, are you kind of surprised? This UCLA is just like they're on a roller coaster that's going to the bottom of the roller coaster, and then all the machine parts fall off.
What a train wreck that has turned into be. I mean, like, so fast, too. I mean, you know, it wasn't very long ago that we were talking about them for NCAA, and they were doing, they had Shabazz and, you know, and all that. And then all of a sudden now, you know, they're not very good from what I've seen.
Horrible.
So I don't know if it is you know, what it seems like to me from just again, and I've only watched them a little bit this year in a couple of games, but from what it seems like the personnel is not indicative of a UCLA team. It just feels like they are not fielding, you know, a team that is very competitive. And so that's the part that I'm having trouble with, you know, because I don't want to all automatically chalk it up to Steve Alford doesn't know what he's doing. I kind of feel like he was, you know, he kind of was trying to get some things going, and, you know, his son is obviously outstanding. But it just feels like some of the big guys they have are just average, especially for being UCLA across your chest. And so I feel like he still needs to do a little bit more of landing some of these 4- and 5-star guys to kind of get that program back. But it's, to me, it's almost like Michigan football. We have to have UCLA good. I mean, it just it helps the conference so much when UCLA is good. I mean, you know, they get on national television as much as anyone, and we can't, as a conference, you can't have UCLA getting dumped.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I'm going to steal a Richard Lucas line. Do you know a guy named Richard Lucas?
I've heard of him.
Do you know Richard Lucas? I'm going to steal your line here, okay, that you used and you told me, and you used it on TV. You know, unless you're Kentucky, if you lose 4 to 5 guys to the pros, you just can't automatically be as good.
No,
and that's the case with UCLA.
Yeah, it's hard to reload. It's really, really, really hard to reload for those top national programs. That's why it is such a amazing that the Krzyzewskis of the world, and obviously Bill Self and all of, and you know, and if for to some degree, you know, Louisville and Syracuse. You know, I mean, these programs typically, for the most part, they lose a bunch of players. Just come back, you know, the next year. UCLA hasn't been able to do that. And, you know, I'm really disappointed by the recruiting. I just feel like UCLA's, their name seems to be involved with a lot of high-level players, but their name is not being called by these high-level players. So in the end. And so I don't know if they're involved just because they are UCLA, so they are able to get their, you know, the doors were open just because they are UCLA, but they need to get these guys. They need to do a little better job in the L.A. area.
Yeah, and you're right, Richard. You know, it's like Michigan football, UCLA football, or UCLA, Notre Dame football. You know, you just got to have them decent, you know, and you're right. And speaking of decent, it's still early. As you said, let's not put the cart before the horse, but Utah – who I think second this year in the Pac-12, has won their first 3 games in the Pac-12 by an average of 32 points. They destroyed Colorado tonight. They are good.
Yeah. Yeah, they are good. I watched them very, very closely when they played Kansas, of course. I think that this is a team – you want to talk about a turnaround? I mean, you know, when they first came into the Pac-12, they were just an average team. And he has done such a – Krestowiak has done such a fantastic job getting that thing turned around. And I got to tell you, I think that they might have – they may have one of the best, 2-3 guards in the country? I mean, you know,
right,
I mean
– right.
It, you know, this guy is good. I mean, he went to Kansas, and I think he had 20 something. You know, DeLon, he had 20 something. He's a big guard, you know, and he can make the shot. He's a good defender, athletic. He's a good passer. I mean, he's really good. And the thing about it is that most people don't know about him because he's playing for Utah. But when they make the NCAA tournament and he drops 27 on Villanova or something, he's going to open up a bunch of eyes. So I think great pick for them. You know, I don't know if did we ever go through what your actual top 12 was? I don't know if we did that.
We haven't done that.
We had Arizona 1, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Arizona 1, your holidays. Stopped us from doing that as you needed to have some time off to do a lot of things. So we haven't done that, but you know, Let's next week, Richard. You know, even though we'll be five games in, let's pick our order of finish, both of us. So how's that sound? We can go
yeah, that's
through that
good because,
real
you know,
quick.
It's such a long season that, you know, even five games in, that's fine. So, yeah, let's definitely
so
do that.
So there's your homework assignment. And I got an assignment for you right now in about a minute's time that we have left, Richard.
Yes.
What do the Ducks do this weekend? Do they sweep the desert schools or not at home?
Yeah, it's a split. I think they lose to Arizona. Arizona's just too much size. They're too big, too strong, too athletic inside. But I do think they beat Arizona State, and I think they beat them handily. You know, I bet you it's a 12 to 15 point win at home.
How about the Oregon State Beavers? Do they do the same, or do they lose both?
I think that they could lose both, really. I'd say they might lose both. If I had to throw that out, I would say they lose both. Can I throw one more prediction
out?
Oregon football. I'm going to be at the game. I'm very excited about it in Dallas. And so, of course, I think that the football team takes care of business and beats Ohio State, you heard it here, by 17 points.
And isn't it ironic, as many people have pointed out, Richard, that Oregon, the first national championship in basketball, was won by the Oregon Ducks over Ohio State.
Yeah,
I think it was 49-36. And you could see the same score in football, the first national championship.
That could very well be the final score. But I think Ducks are going to be too much. They have too much firepower. And so I'm going to be really sad when that game's over with, because I'll know that that's the last time we're going to see Marcus Mariota. So it's kind of sad. And that's the other thing you and I need to talk about is your prediction about him being the biggest endorsement, right, endorser in history or something like that.
Yeah, I have a caveat there. If he has a decent, you know, 10 to 12-year NFL run, I think he'll be that.
Yeah.
And although he needs to speak a little better, I hate to say that, you know, his content is great, but Michael Jordan, his flow of his speech was awesome. But they'll work with him on that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We got to talk about that, because you're like of all time, like any sport, anybody of all time.
Say that again.
I said that you're saying that he's going to be the number one endorser of all time of any sport, you know, of anybody, like over Michael Jordan.
Yes, I'm saying that. I'm going on record as saying that.
Okay. All right. Well, we need to debate that at some point, because I think you're way off.
We'll do that next week, Richard. I'm marking it down, and we also will do our Pac-12 picks.
Awesome. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, very good. That's Richard Lucas. I'm Greg Crawford. We'll be back next week at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Wednesday. Richard will be returning, give us a full report on the national championship game.
Yep.
And I'll
yep.
give you a full report on why Marcus Mariota will be the number one endorser of all time. So good night, everybody.
All right, take care.
Good night, Richard.